This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Yeah, well, thank goodness. We finally got all the qualified candidates out of the way. And now we have racing crazy trains right to the White House. Holy mackerel, Doc. What a wild and crazy week it was.
Well, it was the thing that all of the pundits, all of the prognosticators from the beginning said would never happen. Trump will never get the nomination.
No.
In fact, you know, the scenario that worked out for him, that was hugely to his advantage. Because remember back those early debates with 17 guys, 10 on the stage, you know, split into the A and the B card? Everybody played kid gloves with Donald Trump in the beginning because they were all saying, you know, I don't want to tick off his supporters because when he fades, I want his supporters.
Right.
So they laid off him until the very end. And by that time, he'd built up a head of steam. It was too late.
Yep. And here he is now the presumptive Republican nominee for president of the United States. Wow. Donald Trump. And who would have thought? Who would have thought? Indiana goes for Bernie Sanders. They're feeling the burn out there. Bernie Sanders will not go away. He is Hillary's cold right now. And I actually think this serves Hillary well because, and you know when he steps aside, when he eventually, if he does, that he will he'll be gracious and he will throw a support behind her. And but I think this actually helps Hills because it keeps her sharp, and it's kept her sharp this entire time.
I think it's a different animal from what the Republican contest was. I think at this point, and for some time now, it's that her nomination has not been in doubt. But Bernie's case is a little bit different. He is the head of a movement, and he's not going to abandon, I think, his folks. I think even after he's mathematically eliminated, I think he probably sticks it out to the convention, gets his nomination put in place. There's speeches, there's cheers. And I think he goes down gracefully and endorses her enthusiastically. The big question is, can he bring along his supporters? My guess is he can.
I don't know if we'll get to that in a second, but I want to say this, though. Hillary was the presumptive nominee. She was
From the beginning.
I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, you said this a year
DNC
ago.
DNC had her crowned
right.
a year
if
ago.
If you said a year ago Hillary has a nomination, everybody would have yawned and said, yes, we know that.
Duh, right?
Yeah.
And then, but what I think Bernie Sanders has done more than bring a movement or change the party's platform, which I don't think the party's going to budge one inch towards the Bernie Sanders line, I think that he has kept her electorally sharp. Okay. Mm-hmm. She had a sparring partner this entire time when she wasn't going to have one for a long time. She would have gone in, you know, use a sports analogy. It's the teams that get a bye in the first round and they come now play a team that still has momentum. They've been resting
for a while.
Right, exactly.
You think that's an advantage and
maybe some
not.
Cobwebs. Right.
Usually not.
Right. So I think this has actually helped Hillary. I think it'll continue to help Hillary because let's be real, as it stands now, Trump is building his machine.
And the thing is too, the Democratic contest was not only, he was even more genteel than always. Was when Hillary was against Obama, and that was relatively genteel.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Nobody went for the jugular. There's a couple of moments when the press made a big deal of it when it got a little bit testy.
Because we had
but
to
that's
pick
all
one.
It was.
We had to pick one. We were looking for one, and then we finally saw something that was mildly chippy and jumped on it.
And then we said, "Yeah, my God, now it's going nuclear.
Now all the swords are out. Yeah,
not even close." You compare that to on the Republican side. I think you'd have to go pre-television before you go into the 18th century before you get anything as nasty as that.
Well, I agree with that. I think Martin O'Malley is the unfortunate victim of the other side. I think he was the only one of the three that was qualified. He had a record, he had everything, he had it all. And he was electable. He was just a good-looking young guy, head of a punk rock band. I mean, come on!
I don't think he ever broke 1%.
So I know. So like I said, we've gotten all the qualified people out of the way, and now we have a race with two crazy trains going right to the White House. So let's talk about Cruz before we break here. Ted Cruz shocked me this week because I thought he was going to stick it out no matter what. His whole goal was, I'm not going to get to 1237. Donald Trump is not going to get to 1237. Yeah. We're going to ballot two at the convention, and I'm going to be your nominee.
My theory on that is this, that the real – now, before Indiana, his possibility of stopping Trump was slim. It got even smaller. Not zero,
right,
but way smaller. I think what happened is his financial backers said, you know, we were willing to back a long shot, but not that much of a long shot. And they said, this is just not a good investment anymore. The money pulled out. And as you're heading towards California, you don't compete in California without a lot of money.
And I think,
Except Donald Trump, who doesn't seem to have to spend any money to do anything.
No, he doesn't. And by the way, I give him credit for that. He is putting on a master's course in media hype,
yeah,
a master's course. And we are all watching in awe because we're always talking about Donald Trump for the last year. It's We've done nothing but talk about Trump.
All Donald Trump all the time. And the media, the people who are doing this are smart folks. It's not like they're unaware of this, but it's like the train wreck. You can't keep your eyes off of it. It's just too fascinating.
Everyone's tuning in.
And he commanded the stage, and he got himself hundreds of millions of dollars in free publicity.
Sure, absolutely. You know? And that's what I'm saying. He's working the media to his advantage. We are just simply a tool for him, and he knows exactly how to work that tool.
Yeah. Do you believe what he said today?
Exactly. And people are tuning in just to find out, I wonder what Donald Trump said today.
And it does get you a bigger rating than doing almost anything else.
Absolutely.
And so it's like you can't help it at some point.
But back to Cruz, I think the Carly Fiorina thing, when he tapped Carly to be his running mate, I think he was expecting to see an influx into his coffers that didn't happen. And they just said, okay, the writing's on the wall. I even brought her along and nothing, because I'm a big Carly fan. Carly is extremely qualified, but she just didn't give him the help.
It was a classic Hail Mary pass. The thing you got to remember about Hail Mary passes is you only do them when you're way, way down. And that's why they almost
never work. Or if you're Aaron Rodgers and in the playoffs and it works two times
once
in a row.
In a while, but noted for its rarity.
No, absolutely, and that was I don't know about
that's
a
why they don't
move.
Throw passes like that in the middle of the game.
I think it was a little more calculating than a Hail Mary, because I think he wanted to see the bump in the coffers. I think he wanted to see the bump in the media hype, and he also wanted to shake that stigma of I'm a loose cannon and I like to sleep with a bunch of random chicks on the road. Look, I have a female running mate. I want to shake this look.
And think back in the times in presidential races when people have picked an early vice president. Presidential pick. They've always been behind, and it's never worked.
I thought, didn't Reagan do it?
Reagan did in 76 when he lost.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it was a losing gambit when it was clear that Ford had just nudged him out.
Yeah, okay.
That's when he did.
Interesting. It just still blew my mind that
he didn't do it in 80 because he was going to win anyway.
This was a ginormous week in the world of electoral politics. We're going to continue next on The Think Tank.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Well, like I started the show off with, all the qualified nominees are now gone, so let's get crazy. By the way, I was surprised that Kasich was even in the news this week, because I was surprised Kasich was even around this long. And John Kasich suspended his campaign very briefly after Ted Cruz did his, paving the way for Donald Trump to the Republican nomination. And Kasich just went out with a whimper. It was.
He was never polling high, and he had a shared destiny with Cruz in that it would take the 1-2 punch of Kasich winning some of the states where Cruz wasn't viable, and vice versa. When Cruz lost big in Indiana and Cruz pulls out, then it is quite evident that nobody is going to stop Donald Trump. And all you do is undermine your own credibility long term by sticking around.
Trump went after Kasich in one way, the way he chews. He went after the way he eats. I don't know if you heard that, Doc. Did you say? Okay, exactly.
Silly kind of thing,
all right.
Really.
So do you think that was tactical by Trump? Do you think Kasich would be a viable running mate, especially his home state is something that's very coveted by the Republicans?
I think it'd be a brilliant choice if you could get him to take it. Ohio is about as about as critical a must-win state as you can find. It's not enough for the Republicans. It's essential for the Republicans.
Sure.
For the Democrats, it's a win. It's the flip opposite of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. If the Republicans were to carry Pennsylvania, that would be big trouble for the Democrats. So it's centrist, but it leans slightly Republican. So it's essential for the Republicans. But you notice if you
would it be enough for him to stump in his home state instead of be a VP pick? Would it be enough for Trump to carry? He has to be the VP pick.
Well, it's much stronger to be the VP pick.
I agree, but I don't know if he's a very charismatic pick
would
for VP.
Would it be enough? I mean, we would need to see a huge shift in the underlying dynamics right now. National poll after Trump clinched has him down 13 points. That's a big, big degree of distance.
Sure.
In other words, but those have been shifted. I mean, Dukakis was up by 17 after his convention. But it's way too early to start laying out this state and that state. The first thing you got to do is take that 13-point deficit down to about 3. In other words, you got to knock about 10 off of it.
Sure.
And then we can start strategizing about patterns of states, and we could go into all sorts of different combinations. Can I raise one other thing?
I think
before we get into November, there's another little game that's going to play out with the Republicans, and it's going to be fascinating to watch. It's already started, which is Donald Trump is, to be kind, an unorthodox selection for the Republicans, causing all kinds of problems.
Say it again. I'm sorry. You confused me. Donald Trump is to be a kind?
To be kind, I would characterize his nomination as unorthodox.
Yes.
It's off the charts.
Correct.
Okay. Watch now. The most interesting game in town for the next month or two will be as various significant Republicans line up, and they've got three choices. They can either endorse Trump, they can say, I'm not going to endorse, or they can try to fudge it. And the fudge it is a pro forma statement like...
Hashtag not Hillary.
Well,
no, that's one of the hashtags. I mean, the head of the RNC threw that out this week, hashtag not Hillary.
That's one way. Yeah, that's one. But the statement, the typical statement was, I am endorsing the Republican nominee. I always endorse the Republican nominee. Not even naming Donald Trump by name.
Sure.
A couple of interesting folks have come down on that. And the big one is the two former President Bushes have stated they are not supporting Donald Trump.
Sure. But they will not vote for Hillary Clinton. Let's be real.
Sure.
So, of course, they're not going to stump. They won't do anything like that. That doesn't shock me at all.
It's extraordinary. Find me another precedent in American history for this.
Well, you can't because you can't find a precedent where two former presidents are alive that are father son. Where the sibling ran against the current nominee.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously, you're not going to find
any former president.
Okay. Well,
that is such a pro forma. Item number two on the other side, John McCain is straddling a little bit. He's not going to the convention. That's kind of a slap. That's distancing. But he did say yesterday that he will endorse. He will support the Republican nominee.
Sure.
Now, I suspect you may see some sliding around on that. Prior to August and his renomination, when he gets through the primary, I think he slides up. I'm supporting the Republican nominee. I suspect between August and November, if things go the way they're most likely to go, I think after he's renominated, he may slide in the direction of a non-endorsement or downplaying it.
Because this is where the RNC has to go. The RNC at this point needs to secure the down races. They need to secure the undercards. They have to go and make sure that those voters do not see the Republican Party as the party of Trump. And in those tight races, those contested races, that's where you're going to see all of the time and effort and resources go.
Arizona is very much on the landscape now.
Absolutely.
The Trump nomination has moved things in a Democratic direction by most expectations.
But on the Republican side, we ran Trump right through. Mm-hmm. I know everybody's talking about polling places and whatnot.
I'm talking about the Senate, for example. A month ago, the Senate looked like the Republicans had 50, the Democrats had 47, three were at play. The Democrats, in order to control the Senate, would need to win all three.
Mm-hmm.
That did not include Arizona. You put Arizona and a couple others in play, and it looks now more like it leans in the direction of a Democratic takeover, which was a change from a month ago.
There are Democrats, and so tell me how much weight you put in this, because there are Democrats that I would vote for. I spoke with Fred Duvall a little earlier this week, and I voted for Fred Duvall. Mm-hmm. and because I saw it as a Democrat. I don't draw a line between him and Hillary. You know my feelings on Hillary. I don't go, well, she's the face of the Democrat Party, so there's no way I'm going to vote for this guy. No. I mean, I think the majority of America are a little more common sense than, okay, he got the nod for nomination for president, whether you vote for Trump or not. I don't think that plays into if I vote for McCain or not, right?
It does with some folks. I mean, that's not the answer to that is not the same for everybody. And in states where look at, frankly, right now with John McCain's strategic move on this, he's endorsing right now because he doesn't want the insurrection of the Republican right to get very upset with him and whoop that up. After he gets the nomination, if this race is as tight as it appears to be, and if Trump is continuing
to— Which race is it?
Senate race.
Senate, thank you. So you're talking about McCain's race.
Talking about McCain's race.
Got it, yeah.
If it looks like Donald Trump is going to drag him down, watch him walk away.
Okay, but I don't think if Trump stays away, I don't think Trump's going to say, I'm going to come to Arizona and stump for you, John McCain, and there's
John
nothing
McCain
you can do
say
about
no,
it.
Thank you.
Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't think I think McCain has been around the block enough times to understand how to win elections, and he'll know what to do. He'll know exactly how to play.
Arizona may be on the map,
except for the presidential election. He ran the worst presidential campaign I think in the history of the Estados Unidos.
Worse than Romney?
Oh my gosh, yes. Infinitely worse than Romney. I'm suspending my campaign, my friends.
That was
to go work on.
That September 15th, 2008, the election was over.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's do this. Let's stay on this. I want to talk about some tactics from both sides. Next.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Here's how I want to start this off, Doc. I know you have your stack. We have plenty of time. We're going to get your stack, I promise. But I do want to see what's coming along, because let's say Bernie Sanders does win California. And Bernie Sanders stays mathematically in this with superdelegates. So I had this conversation with you on air, and we were talking about if Bernie stays in long enough, some superdelegates will start to jump ship and go over to Bernie.
I would say, no, if it looks like Hillary is collapsing and is unelectable,
okay,
that's what moves the superdelegates. In fact, that's the purpose of the superdelegates. Superdelegates were intended when they were put in 1980. Let me go back to the history of what happened in 1980.
Yeah, we talked about it here. Yeah.
Carter is running for renomination. He has a serious challenger in the face of Ted Kennedy. Carter wins sort of the first half of the primaries. And the second half are swept by Kennedy. So you've got an incumbent president who looks like his support is collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you've got a time factor, but Carter has a little bit more than half the delegates. So the Democrats say, we need this group of people who are independent. So if we see the winds blowing strongly in one direction at the end, we can keep somebody who has nominally just over 50% of elected delegates, but we see that person has collapsed. Say somebody gets in a scandal or something like that. I mean, you want to take this. I mean, the Republican pipe dream is that Hillary gets indicted, which, by the way, is not going to happen.
Okay.
No chance.
We know that's not going to happen.
But if something like that did happen, and I'm not suggesting that it could or will, but if it did happen, all of a sudden, it's sort of like the wise old man would say, wait a minute, we got somebody who in elected delegates has more than half, but we think they're unelectable. We're going with the next best choice.
So once again, understand, the DNC and the RNC, they make and can change their own rules at any point in time. They can
not without
they can,
consequence, but they does,
well, okay, with without political consequence, got it. But when you say they can't take my vote, you're darn right they
yes,
can.
Yes, they can.
Absolutely, they can. They will. They have. They're going to. It's
the RNC,
who they want.
Not the RNC, but the convention itself could decide that the threshold for a first ballot victory is 60%.
Yep.
And now this would cost them the election in November because Trump would cry foul, probably run as a third party, muck up the waters. But the answer is yes, they could do it. The ultimate arbiter in every convention is the convention delegates themselves. They make their own rules.
Darn right they do.
But if they do so in a way that's seen as blatantly unfair, they have to live with the consequences of that.
Now the interesting part, because it plays out like this now. Hillary's got two people to fight against. Hillary's got two people going after her now. Two. She's the only one. Obviously, Trump's not going after Sanders because he could not care less about Bernie Sanders. He's going after Hillary, and Sanders is going after Hillary.
I disagree with the following point. I think you're going to see a shift in Bernie Sanders. I think you're going to see Bernie Sanders promulgating his positions. And he says, this is what I believe in. We have to take on Wall Street. We have to have more equitable distribution of income. I do not see any personal attacks on Hillary at this point.
Okay. No, but, okay. But he said, but the momentum of that message is actually winning states for him.
Yep.
Won Indiana for him.
Well,
probably will win California for him.
But
the People's Republic of California, they love them some socialism. North of Orange County.
I think it's possible, but I think I'd take an even money bet and I'd take Hillary in California.
Really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, but I'm not saying that it's impossible.
Right. And that's the thing.
Indiana was an upset.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. We keep having upset after upset, especially on the Trump side, because we didn't think he'd be here. His nomination,
you know, if you
is an upset.
Look at the pattern of who won what states in both parties.
Okay.
And what you see is a lot of geography at work. Most of the states that were won by various candidates were contiguous. Next to one another, okay?
Right.
And so a lot of it has not to do with order. You know, it's sort of if all the Hillary states come first and all the Bernie states come second, you're tempted to call that momentum. But in reality, you look at the spatial distribution and you see that Bernie is winning certain types of states.
But you also understand that you look at the head of the DNC, you look at Wasserman Schultz, and you look at Nancy Pelosi, who were very clear in all of their tours and all of their speaking engagements on the cable news networks and saying, but don't worry, I know he's got some momentum, but Indiana and California are right around the corner, and we know Hillary will take those. They were very open about that. He takes Indiana, takes California. The DNC has to kind of eat a little bit of crow.
But here's the thing. It's mostly it's bragging rights. He carried Indiana. Did you see how many net delegates he picked up?
Yes.
It was like six delegates.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's because the Democrats and the Republicans have different rules.
I understand.
The
this.
Republicans have a lot of winner take all. So if you start carrying states, anything is possible. Hillary has a 300 elected delegate lead. Even throw out the supers for a while. That is virtually insurmountable at this point because even if Bernie were to win California, he's not going to get 90% of the delegates. He's not going to get 80. He's not going to get 70. He's not going to get 60.
Will he run off? Will he run as an independent?
No. No. No.
He will Cruz?
No. No, I don't think anybody will at this point. I think we have our candidates.
Dang it!
It's going to be Trump and Hillary, and that's your choice.
All right, so let's get
to
that.
You can vote Libertarian, I suppose, if you can figure out who they are.
Exactly.
You can vote vegetarian, take your pick. But you really, for all practical, there's not even going to be a Nader level 2% candidate in there. It's a two person race this time.
All right, so let's get to this before we get to the war that is going to be Trump Clinton. Let's talk about Veeps. Talk about running mates. Who does Hillary tap?
You know, there was the odds-on favorite, I think, is favorite no more, and that is
the kid in San Antonio.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. He's Secretary of Transportation. Mm-hmm. His brother's a congressman.
Right.
The Castro brothers.
Thank you. Yes.
I think that might come across right now as a very unimaginative, predictable kind of pick.
Mm-hmm. Why would that hurt?
Oh, I don't think it would
hurt. She's the unimaginative, predictable nominee.
You know, that might be the reason to go for him. It's like, I got this in the bag. Let me pick a nice, safe pick. This is going to solidify the massive lead I already have with Hispanics.
Be my Biden.
You know, it's absolutely one of the people on the thing. I think here's the real thing. The Bernie people, how much influence do they? And you really feel the need to excite them. That would be Elizabeth Warren. I don't think it's Bernie himself, too old.
Man.
But Elizabeth Warren or somebody of that ilk. I think another one that would be Sherrod Brown would be an outstanding choice, senator from Ohio.
Okay.
He would be very, very positive to the left of the Democratic Party, and he's from Ohio, and he's very popular.
How about Mr. Trump, who announced he will not get someone from the business world? Yeah. He's going to take a politician. Who's he take?
Well, the most obvious name is the one we've already intimated, John Kasich, if he'll take it. You know,
okay.
Kasich, now he's going to wait. Now, he doesn't make that choice until, I think, before the convention. And I think the question is, will Kasich take it? If it looks like Trump is going to be killed in a rout, I think Kasich says no.
Okay.
Normally, you take it because it's a great thing to be the vice presidential candidate because you're the odds-on favorite the next time around.
Sure.
But if you're associated with a rout, maybe not so.
Okay. My odds on my favorite for the pick was going to be the governor of New Mexico until she decided to throw a holiday party in which she was throwing things off of balconies and going absolutely crazy and calling cops. Do you know who I am?
I know who you're talking about. And that was my choice from way back.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's viable.
Not anymore.
Also,
just because of a holiday party.
And also, I think in terms of Hispanic vote, I don't think Donald Trump could do anything to get it back. I think he's gone so far over the line.
Yeah, I think he takes a female, though. I honestly think he has to. I think he has, if not a Hispanic female, half Hispanic, half black female.
You know,
he has to cover some bases.
The problem,
man,
is that he has so many groups that he has so thoroughly alienated, it's hard to see how he gets them back.
But it's hard to see how he won. It's hard to see how he continues to win.
Yep.
Do you see? And that's the thing, because we've constantly underestimated his wins,
right.
underestimated his
What he's
potential.
Proven is there's a lot of old, angry white men in the Republican Party, but that's one third. The Republicans are about a third of this country, and you got to extend that to the entire population. It gets a whole lot tougher.
Well, let's talk about that war. Let's talk about the battle that is about to be between here and November. And let's talk about that one third. Let's talk about that one third in the middle and where they go. That's next on The Think Tank.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Oh, it's a battle. It's going to be a battle, and I can't be more excited. This is just, honestly, they're parallel crazy trains, and it's between a career charlatan against a career criminal politician. I love it both. It is going to be so much fun watching these two go at each other, because this might be the biggest mudslinging election we have ever seen or will ever see. Pure mudslinging the entire time.
I think, and I'm not accepting your characterization across the board there, but I do agree on one point. I think this gets dirty, and there is one thing in the lay of the land that almost guarantees that. And that is that both candidates have high negatives. Now, Trump's are a lot higher than Hillary's, but both candidates are negative. And rule one in politics—
That's relative. That's all relative.
I mean,
we could say Hillary's negatives are heck of a lot higher than Trump's.
I took a little essay test about 40 years ago. I was going to be it was a job test for
I remember those.
One of the top Democratic pollsters in the business in Washington in the middle 70s. And I did this analysis of a race, happened to be a California Senate race. He said, take these numbers and write it up. And I wrote up a competent analysis, but he gave it back. He said, everything you did here was right, but you missed the main point. And the main point was they both have high negatives. So what you do is make the other guy the issue.
Got it.
Even if you're Donald Trump and your negatives are higher, his strategy to win is to have everybody thinking about how they feel about Hillary when they vote and not even thinking about him.
Exactly.
So when you and
hashtag not Hillary, she'll have hashtag not Trump. Yeah, it's basically just put me in because I'm not him. Put me in because I'm
not
her.
That's the Trump strategy for getting back the Republican base, is get everybody all whooped up about how much they dislike Hillary.
Because what was the chant that the Democrats were saying when Obama was in 08 after two terms of W, it was not four more years or something like that. Mm-hmm. What was their big chant?
No,
that's going to be going to be the same thing. The same drum that he's going to be beating his entire
campaign. And it's
campaign.
Why traditionally one party to win three elections in a row has been difficult. Not
right.
impossible, but difficult.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that plays into Trump's hands at this point. How close does Hillary want to align herself with Obama? How close does...
That's an interesting one, because in the primaries, and this is where one of the places where you need to pivot a little bit. In the primaries, she embraced Barack Obama, mm-hmm. and a lot of that had to do with black vote.
Mm-hmm.
And she just tied herself at the hip to him. I think in the general, she's got to finesse that a little bit. Now, it's a dance, but it's way, way easier than the one Trump has to make. And basically what she's got to say is, well, Obama's done a lot of good things, but we can do even better.
Okay.
Trump has got to... absolutely exercise some of his statements, which have been alienating to people. You know, no Muslims allowed in the country. There are a lot of mainstream Republicans who say, he's got to come and say, we have to find some way to, quote, figure that out so we can only exclude the ones that are a danger.
Here's what
or
we
something
have.
Like
here's
that.
What we have. We have two people that have a treasure chest, a gold mine of audio, of sound bites, a gold mine of to the other side, by the way. So if Trump's looking over at Hillary's audio, oh my gosh, just months and months of advertising against her. If she's looking at Trump, the same. And
I would reject this. She's been around for 25 years. There's plenty of clips.
She's been around a lot longer than 25 years, boss.
But,
she's
92.
She was,
92, she burst on the national
okay,
scene.
Okay, burst on the national scene. Mm-hmm. But she's got more crazy train before
well,
then where she's on audio.
I think Trump is an infinitely easier target. Have you seen the two commercials that have already been issued, web-based commercials? And all they are, one of them is Donald Trump talking.
Yeah.
And the other one is major Republican figures talking about Donald Trump.
Sure.
No Democrat saying anything.
You'll find the same for Hillary.
Oh,
You'll find her Univision interview where she said, where she was asked, well, why did you vote to build a wall? And she has to say, well, because they said fence. Are you kidding me? It's going to be tit for tat the entire time.
I don't think it's anywhere near of the same order of magnitude. And I think that's why she's 13 points ahead.
In what you underestimate every single time, and what you've underestimated for the last year, is exactly how the media will play for Donald Trump and how he will play the media. He knows how to do this better than she does. She's playing an old game. He's playing a new game, a la 08. When McCain was playing the old game, Obama's playing a new game. There's this game we haven't seen before.
That's an interesting thought. The question is, can he take what worked for him in the primaries and extend it to the general election? Sometimes you get yourself in trouble, because in the primaries, he's dealing, again, with that one-third of the electorate that's one-third Democrat, one-third Republican, one-third something else. And it's not clear that what works in the primaries works in the general.
Agreed. But then we have on the Hillary side, we have Bernie polling eventually. Okay, he's going to pull it. No matter how much he says, I support Hillary Clinton, as much as he says that, there are kids, and I mean kids, that are excited about Bernie Sanders. All in his rallies, all about pay me $15 an hour, give me free college. Hey, Bernie, oh my gosh, she's the Goldman Sachs chick. I'm not voting for her. Do you see what I mean?
Bernie is very, very important. Look to his speech at the convention, and he's going to have to come out for her the way she came out for Obama.
Because if Trump is smart, he will go after those, not to get them to vote for him, just to make sure that the Bernie supporters don't vote for Hillary Clinton. And it's pretty easy when you start talking about $250,000 speaking engagements at Goldman Sachs. Yeah. She's the big paints her as the big bank.
That's
Hillary.
That's why I look at somebody like maybe a Sherrod Brown or a Elizabeth Warren, or somebody that would excite the Bernie people.
Elizabeth Warren, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
The woman who lied about her nationality
Come on. Are you kidding me?
Oh, if a Republican did that, would they still be in office? No, they wouldn't.
Talking minor
they
stuff,
wouldn't.
Man.
They wouldn't be in office.
Come on.
You know this.
No. This is making something out of nothing.
How? Fraud?
Oh,
is making
on,
something
on,
out of
fraud.
Nothing? I'm filling out an application and I put white man, right?
Right.
Okay, that's I'm not. If I put Hispanic, I'm committing fraud.
You know her ethnic background?
She's not Cherokee or whatever she said she was, right?
But
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying everyone says they're 1/16. Yeah. I swear, every cheerleader in the world, I'm 1/16 Choctaw. I think there's baggage there. I don't think a Clinton Warren ticket would go anywhere. I think that would sink her more than anything.
Well, it would be an interesting choice.
She has to take some without any baggage. I mean, darn near no baggage, which gets back to Squeaky Kid from San Antonio. I mean, that you got to bring in somebody that without.
He'd be a very safe choice.
And don't you think she needs one?
You know, there's going to be discussions with Bernie.
What's that?
She needs Bernie.
She
needs somebody. Okay. I mean, she needs him at the stage whooping up the Bernie people.
Does she need him as a VP?
No.
Oh,
she needs
that's what I thought you
no,
were saying.
No, no. I don't. I think he's too old. I don't think that works. I don't think he wants it. But I think Bernie is genuinely a cause candidate. He's not in it for himself. He has moved the
Agreed.
Needle, and he wants to see movement from her on policy issues.
I'll give you this. Say what you will
about. I think he'll get it.
Say what you will about his politics. Mm-hmm. He's the only honest guy in the race. Well, he's the only one who is truly convicted in what he wants to do and will not sway because of any type of vote or electorate. He stays on the course. I'm talking both the R and the D's.
Yeah, people have said that about Trump, too. But
Trump changed.
Of course, what he said this year and what he said previous year was often diametrically different. But he had a lot of people convinced that he was talking honestly. You know, it's like they say about sincerity.
No, I'm talking about court
convictions. It's really good as long as you learn how to fake it, right?
Sure. I'm with you there. No, I'm talking about I think when they said that about Trump, they were saying he's speaking his mind. Speaking his mind and staying core to your convictions is two separate things.
We want politicians who speak to the core of our convictions.
Darn right. And depending which state they're in, that becomes their convictions. And that's the political movement. Does he get any love for being an outsider? Does he get Trump get any push for just being the non-establishment?
Absolutely he does. This is an outsider year.
I'm talking about the middle third.
Yeah,
I think
that counts for something. But again, right now I'm saying the only national poll you've seen has him 13 points down, which is a lot. Not unbeatable.
Correct.
But it's a lot.
Yeah.
But that already factors all that in. So his negatives, outsider helps him, but all this other stuff is really letting him down. I don't see how he pulls out of that. It's doable, but it's tough.
But that's the thing, and I agree with you right now, but we've denied him at every turn, and he's surprised us. We have underestimated him at every single turn.
That's why we all always hedge our bets on this.
Oh my gosh, it is going to be so much fun. From now to November, you got to keep it right here to KTA, because we're going to keep you eyes on this entire race, both sides of the ball, and right here in the think tank. We're going to wrap each week up for you right here on KTAR News.